Thank you. We're going to call the Tax Conference Committee back to order and apologize. We were just getting a copy here of some items to take up tonight. And Senator Skoy, people will recall, he mentioned he can't be here tonight, but we understand he's deputized everyone to make decisions, and so we'd like to do that if possible. But I thought if it's okay, maybe we could discuss maybe the next couple of days, too. I think that'd be helpful because I know it's hard for the public to weigh in when they have no idea what we're going to do the next day. And so that's the Senate's call tomorrow. And we have some items here tonight. But, I just thought I'd say right now on Wednesday so people can plan. And Senator Ress, correct me if this conflicts with Tuesday. We think we should begin working on any differences in the Rochester Mayo DMC provisions on Wednesday. And the Mall of America, and Senator Skoy had asked me, even though we were going to talk about TIF tomorrow, mm-hmm. that maybe we should put Maplewood in that same bucket because I think you've got some similar provisions on Wednesday. So for folks who care, I think Wednesday morning we would do Rochester, Mall of America, 3M as a starting place in the morning on Wednesday. So Senator Ress, do you want to talk about Tuesday, what you know?
What about the Emerson provision?
Sure. Yep, we can do all those.
And then the Baxter.
Baxter, Emerson, right,
we
the sales.
Kind of like the big five.
There. Yeah.
Some are bigger than others, obviously.
Right.
But they're the kind. We use, I think, some of the same approaches as to
see what happens.
Someone should help here. I don't know what to do.
We just think some of those are similar approaches and that we should make sense to discuss them all at the same time, if we can get to them all. Obviously, the mall and Rochester are two humongous projects, but certainly the mall is not new. That's been around for some time, and discussions about the Rochester Mayo initiative. He didn't have kind of really bubbled up, but that discussion is not totally new either.
Right. So I just want to make sure that Representative Norton and Senator Senjum can alert everybody in the Rochester proposal to come and join us Wednesday morning if they can. And I would imagine once we all go to the floor, they may have to come back in the evening. Yes. But it looks like the way it's queuing up, if you look at what the Senate and the House is scheduling, we're kind of going to meet mornings and then evenings again. Senator Senjum, did you want to add to that?
Well, just maybe a question, Madam Chair. There may well be some loose ends on the Rochester project that aren't completely resolved by Wednesday. You're not anticipating, are you, that we'd bring that to a grand conclusion, or are you?
Well, and I'll ask Representative Norton what she thinks and any other conferees as well. I mean, I think we've been pretty good on both sides here to try not to vote on things that people aren't ready to vote on, but the clock's a-ticking. So, there aren't a lot of days left to make final decisions, and the House and the Senate bills are different already.
Sure.
Much less other things that people are still thinking about. So, I don't know. But I think the folks who care about proposals need to understand, we're not going to be coming up with these final negotiated agreements on, May 20th. We have to get a bill out of here in time to be processed for the floor. So we're down to, two weeks from today till we adjourn. So we understand that there's still differences, but we wouldn't want to take a vote if Representative Norton and Senator Senjum aren't ready. But,
well, Madam Chair, to see where we are, I mean,
I
know I met with some Rochester City people today. I'm not quite sure that they sort of kind of got things squared away with Mayo and so on and so forth. But maybe we can do that by Wednesday.
Representative Norton.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I think it would be good for us to at least go over the lines, the differences, because as we are meeting behind the scenes and talking to folks, we do need to know members' questions and concerns in order to address them. So if we could look at both bills and the similarities and differences, I think it would help us move ahead a little more quickly on that.
Sounds good. So, Senator Rust, do you know kind of what's on tap for tomorrow? Before we start on this list tonight, I think it's worth thinking about what are we doing tomorrow.
We have sent out a notice with the topics
already,
and they are the TIF provisions that are not the ones concerning the big five that we just talked about, and then discussion of some of the sales tax stuff, and then the education aids, which is our Senate Article 3. And probably the order in that will be discussing those TIF provisions, and then, which we're not so different on most of those, and then the education aids, and then whatever time we have left on sales tax. However, it is the case that the House is going in at 9, but the Senate is not going in until 3 p.m. So that makes the day a little bit difficult. I don't know how long an agenda you folks have as to whether we would have any time to meet prior to the Senate going in, or whether we would have to go meet after the Senate adjourns. I have looked over the agenda for the Senate, or the special order agenda, and it, to my mind, it doesn't look particularly controversial. I don't think the bill's there. There's 5 or 6 of them. I would imagine no more than a couple of hours, 3 hours maybe.
That's always a problem, Senator Rust, because the House always takes longer to process everything.
I know.
There are twice the people. Let's just say that.
No, I'm not being critical.
I know. And you know everybody has to say it.
Say what?
Even whatever the point is. There's always a lot of people have to say it again.
Yes.
On both sides of the aisle.
So
that's the culture of the House.
The debate is not finished until everything has been said by everybody.
Yes, that's right. So, well, and I think in, you know, House conferees, you know, generally what we do is we go on the floor and then we break for caucus. So I think if House conferees are comfortable, we could all skip caucus, you know, check in, and then when we recess, maybe come and meet with all of you. But now I can't speak for the other conferees because some people never want to miss a caucus. But generally we go into caucus for about an hour and a half in the morning. Is that what we heard that we were going to do tomorrow too? So maybe we could get started after that and at least could work for a while after you're off the floor. When are you? You're not on the floor till 3.
Until 3.
So if we were in recess by 9:15?
That might work. I need to consult with the staff. To make sure we're ready
Sounds good.
For that. But that's certainly a real possibility that we might be able to meet in the morning, but definitely after we adjourn. And I would think that you folks would be adjourned by then, too, unless you're doing something extremely controversial. Do you know what your agenda is?
Representative Anzalz, what are we doing tomorrow? Do you know?
Energy.
There's very little that we do in the House that's not controversial.
We will think about the morning, but we will be flexible and let you know as soon as we can what's up. Is that okay?
Sounds great. So, and if I can just say, I apologize to the House conferees because I didn't really get to connect back with them on a list of items, but here's a list, and they haven't really seen it or thought about it either. So the House conferees are in the exact same position as the Senate conferees at this moment. And I guess what I was thinking is here is I want to adjourn by 10 for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe earlier. I know this committee will have many nights that will go very late. So yet. And sometimes all night. So I don't think we want to start that yet. So what I was hoping, if this works for Senate conferees, and I talked to Senator Skoy just briefly in the hall, you know, it seems to me there's a lot of big chunks yet still to work through, and I think we both want to hear each other's items. So I didn't want to go through one of our big pieces like the alcohol tax or our surcharge without Senator Skoy here. So I was thinking maybe we could do some of these. And just a thought on them, if you have a second just to look at the list, Here's my thought, and we don't have to act on any of these or if this doesn't work for people. I was thinking 1 and 2, we could take the Senate provision. If you just look at those, that was the Cloquet Fire and this Waban Omega White Earth that we thought was in the bonding bill, and it's actually not in the House bonding bill. So that seemed pretty simple. And then 3, 4, 5, and 7 look really close, and it seemed to me that the Senate's kind of extending things and the House is making them permanent, and maybe we could do 2 and 2, or very quickly all of us could just agree on what do you want to do in 3, 4, 5, and 7, because they're all kind of don't seem too big of a deal and people are close. So just a thought there. And then 6 and 8 also seem like we could just have the staff tell us what the better language is and we could adopt it. And same with 9, I guess. So that's what I was thinking. If we thought realistically we could get through all that in an hour, maybe folks think that's not really doable. Senator Rest.
No, Madam Chair, I think that is very, very doable. I think some of them have more, we need to have more discussion
okay.
about what the better policy is with regard to extending something as opposed to making it permanent. But we also have, if you wouldn't mind adding to the list what I mentioned to you just before the meeting started, the 4D, there's a 4D solution that
yes.
that Mr. Hines has drafted that, as I understand it, I mean, he's rolling his eyes there. but we do have that language. And as far as I know, I've talked with Housing Finance earlier today, and then I've been assured by one of the persons in the group that has an interest in this that that language is acceptable. And as far as I know, what it does is set up a way of giving some relief to 4D properties that are in that situation that one entity found themselves and then but only allowing it to go forward for 2 years so that at the end of the 2 years we would be able to determine whether this really was just an outlier for this particular property's situation or whether there are a lot of entities that are going to be affected by it. So it seems like a fairly, it's a general approach, but seems like a fairly conservative approach.
Okay, Mr. Hines, do you have language for us? Mr. Hines?
Madam Chair, we've been working on some language, but I think we were thinking that the group who came to the agreement would still need to review the language, which most of them haven't seen it yet. And so I think... I think it would be better to wait at least a day.
Okay,
can
well
we
maybe
do it tomorrow?
We'll take it up tomorrow. I was under the impression that everybody had signed off on it, but
okay.
If that's not the case, then we can maybe we can add that to, for tomorrow when
Sounds
people
good.
That are interested in this can look it over. I know
Representative
Dabney and Senator Dietzig have said that it seems okay to them. But.
Okay. So that sounds, we'll do, if you, you'll have the gavel tomorrow, so if you guys want to bring that up then. Mr. Hines.
I was just going to add that a lot of it is the timing issues. I had to kind of make some guesses at timing issues, and some of the administrators need to see it and make sure that they're okay with those.
So before we just go through these 9, does anyone have a reaction to what I just said about this doesn't seem... If people really want to spend a lot of time in these, I mean, I just don't see the value because let's take number 3, which is one of us wants to extend the Hennepin and Ramsey County mortgage and deed, and the other wants to make it permanent. I mean, I think we just should decide. Mm-hmm. And to me, it seems a couple could be permanent, a couple could be extended, and we could just work that through. So if people don't have an objection to that, I think that the first one... We did talk to Representative Sundin about the Cloquet Fire District issue, and so I guess a motion would be to just accept the Senate Article 2, Sections 39 and 40.
Can you help us out with where that is now on the side-by-side?
Page 20.
Cloquet.
Page 20. So it's Senate Article 2, Section 39 and 40. And that was where we didn't have it and you did, and we talked to the House author. says it. He agrees with the Senate position.
Then, Madam Chair, I'd move the Senate position with regard to sections 39 and 40 on page 20 of the side-by-side.
Discussion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed say nay. The rest motion is adopted on the Cloquet Fire District. And then we've got Senate Article 11, Section 17, page 88 of the side-by-side. That's the Wabun Omega White Earth Local Match House Bonding. Bill did not have that, and we thought it did, but it doesn't.
And there's a misspelling there?
Yeah, did you see that in the parentheses? Opportunity to chide the Senate about misspelling. But you know what? I can't even pronounce it, so I'm not going there. Senate arrest.
Madam Chair, this is a provision that
this one, section 17.
Was brought to us by... I can't hear you.
Superintendent from White Earth.
From White Earth, and I would like it explained.
Someone in the Senate Council want to tell us what it is? You've got the provision.
Yeah. Madam Chair.
I wish you could have seen that, because it was just somebody looked at somebody looked at somebody looked at somebody looked at. That was great. Ms. McQuay,
Madam
thank
Chair
you.
And members, fortunately, the language, the spelling is correct in the bill. It is the... It is the Wabun Ogama White Earth provision. And what this does is allow the school district to use their lease purchase agreement as their local match for a grant that they've received from the Department of Human Services.
And, Mr. Michael, I just ask you, so this would really be a public finance provision. Is that right, Mr. Michael, for House Comparees?
Madam Chair, members of the Conference Committee, this grant was funded by the bonding bill, and so in the sense that it's, you know, came from bond financing, I guess you could consider it a public finance item. The MMB, though, has said this does not need to pass as part of a bonding bill, but it's fine to pass in the tax bill. It's not something that the Attorney General thinks needs a three-fifths vote, so.
Okay. Is everybody comfortable with that? Does anybody want to make that motion?
So moved.
So Representative Anzelk makes that motion. That's number two that we just covered, Senate Article 11, Section 17, page 88 of the side-by-side discussion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed say nay. The Anzelk motion is adopted. And then I think the next one, and we're also passing out another sheet that Ms. Dalton said she found a couple small things we might be able to do if we get to that. So I'm thinking jump down to number six. Although, now that I see it, would Senator Skoy want to be here for that?
I think so.
Oh, okay. Yes. Okay, yes, perfect. Yes. So, Representative or Senator Dietzick, maybe you want to tell us about number six, exemption of property owned by an Indian tribe.
And that's also...
Minor language difference. Yes, Representative Dabney, you had this as well.
Where is it in the side-by-side again?
Page 17.
Page 17 of the side-by-side.
Yeah, it was
Senator Dietzick.
Thank you, Madam Chair. It was a Senator Hayden bill, and this is a property in Minneapolis that, if I'm reading it right and remembering right, it's the tribes, and so... I mean, they're anywhere from federal government and a bunch of nonprofits have the building there, and so they are just asking to be tax exempt like a lot of other nonprofits.
Okay.
I mean, the tribes cannot become a nonprofit. There's a lot of paperwork there, so it is, in my recollection, it is. It's just like be treated like any other nonprofit.
Okay.
I think there is a slight difference in the language relating to ownership. Can't remember.
Well, and maybe I don't know if it'll be Mr. Paulson and Mr. Hines, but maybe I'm not sure who can tell us a little bit different about, you know, which language we want to prefer here. But Representative Dabney,
Madam Chair, just picking up where Senator Dietzick left off, the Minnesota Band of Ojibwe did work very closely with the city of Minneapolis on narrowing down the language to only apply to these two parcels. They cannot be used for commercial or residential purposes, and they really are the offices of the tribe that provide services to enrolled members of the bands. who reside in the metropolitan area. So this is about the provision of governmental services to band members and the use of the building for that purpose.
Madam Chair.
Senator Rest.
It looks like the Section 24 in the House and then 46 in the Senate, the differences there is that it looks like one is for 2 years. That is for taxes payable in 2014 and 2015. That's the Senate. And then the House. No? What am I reading?
I think we're looking at a different. Mr. Hines?
You want to be on
number six.
Madam Chair, this would
page
be
page 17.
And in 17 of the side by side. And then in the Senate bill, it is page 23. And the House bill, page 44. And the only difference, I believe, is in Clause 3, where the House language says it's owned and occupied directly or indirectly by a federally recognized Indian tribe within the state of Minnesota. And the Senate language says was on January 2, 2012, and for the current assessment is owned by a federally recognized tribe or its instrumentality that is located within the state. And I know I think we adopted the language as presented in committee.
I was looking
okay,
at...
Okay, hang on again. We're
looking
at different things.
Eight. That's
yes,
that's
so
why. That was my
so
confusion.
Senator Rest on page 17 of the side-by-side.
Yes.
Okay, so Mr. Hines, did you want to clarify the language difference on the House and Senate again briefly?
Madam Chair, just be with regard to that Clause 3 that has to do with the nature of the tribe's ownership of the property, and the Senate language just has a little more verbiage about the... that it's owned currently and on January 2, 2012, mentioned the instrumentality. So I wonder if the Senate possibly amended it, because we did not amend that language, that part of the language as introduced.
Madam Chair, essentially
hey,
what
you know what? I think we want to hang on 1 second because people need to decide aren't listening to you. So hang on a minute. Okay, you guys ready to? Because I think whatever is comfortable between Representative Dabney and Senator Dziedzic and Senator, we'll just take it, but we just want to make sure everyone understands what the difference is. Mr. Michael?
Madam Chair, members of the committee, the Senate staff can probably clarify this too, but basically what this does is to make it a closed class so that because that property had to be owned actually on January 2nd of 2012, that will prevent any new properties that are later acquired by a tribe from qualifying for this. So I assume that that was done in order to sort of make this not necessarily specific to this parcel, but to prevent newly acquired properties from qualifying for this exemption, to narrow it down further.
Mr. Sylvia, did you want to add?
Madam Chair, that's correct. The only change would be found in Clause 3 in that January 2nd, 2012 note there. That was not included in the original bill. That was added later. We'd worked with the representative from the city of Minneapolis to include that, and it's for the purpose of so that no properties owned after that period would be subject to this specific exemption.
So preferred, I think, do you have a, what would you like? And I see Mr. Ranieri's here as well, too. I don't know if you want to hear from city on that or?
I, Madam Chair, I don't know if anybody's here from the bands. My only hesitation on the Senate language is my understanding. I mean, the tribes were willing to have a pretty tight definition of the properties involved, and the city, I think, wanted that. My only apprehension is if they decide to purchase the building next to them, do they end up in a situation where part of it is taxed one way and part of it is taxed another, if we were to adopt the Senate language?
Is there someone here from the tribes? Is Mr.
Pinoza? The actual language of the bill.
The tribes. Yes, I'm not sure. I'm trying to ask Mr. Dabney if Mr. Vanosik has represented the tribes.
Yeah.
And don't know.
Which hat do you have on tonight?
Rob Vanosik on behalf of the Minnesota Association of Assessing Officers. I am not representing the tribes.
Oh,
I just spoke with the tribes who we negotiated this language with. We do prefer the Senate language. Everybody.
Mr. Ranieri, do you prefer the Senate language?
On this.
Madam Chair, we do. My name is Gene Ranieri from the City of Minneapolis. We do prefer the Senate language.
And is there someone directly from the tribes who can confirm they like the Senate language better, too? Or Senator Rest or Dziedzic?
Thank you, Madam Chair. a person who was representing the tribe has suggested that additional language for that's in the Senate bill. So it's our understanding that the tribe would prefer the Senate language.
Okay.
Madam Chair?
Yeah, please.
Nicole Romalingam with the Minnesota Chippewa Tribe. We do.
Can you pull the mic up a little bit?
Sure.
Can't hear you.
Sure. Nicole Romalingam with the Minnesota Chippewa Tribe. Okay. We agree. We like the Senate language.
Okay.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
Can I move the Senate language? Let me see if I can get this right.
Perfect. Perfect.
Let's not stop. That would be Senate Article 2, Section 10. Thank you all very much.
Okay. So, Senator Senjum.
Madam Chair, may I just ask staff or whoever, does the exemption follow both the property and tribal ownership, or just?
Mr. Sylvia,
I guess that's
Mr.
the question.
Hines, does someone want to? Take Senator Senjum's question?
In other words, Madam Chair, if the tribe sold it, would the exemption stay?
Oh, okay.
No,
it would go away.
Mr. Hines.
Yes. I think in the words you first said, it does have to be both that property and owned by the tribe, and it would not stay with the property if they sold.
Okay.
And Senate Counsel, you agree?
That's correct. Madam Chair, it's found on in Clause 2 again. It has to be owned by a federally recognizing tribe and located within the city of Minneapolis. So it has to be owned by the tribe.
Okay, great. Everyone understand the motion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed say nay. The Dabney motion's adopted. And Senator Ress, maybe we can jump to 8 now. Okay. Which you were taking a look at there before, and that's the assessment changes and valuation issues on production property. So what I see is 1 year House, 2 year Senate, study minor language differences. Do Representative Dabney or Senator Rest, does someone have a strong preference here? Senator Rest. Or maybe the staff wants to tell us what the minor language differences that we should care about. Is there anyone who has an opinion on that?
Say, Madam Chair.
Yes, please. Senator Coonan. Please, yes.
I'm wondering, too, the department might have a comment. Yes. Oh,
sure. Mr. Cummings, Ms. Von Mosch, whoever.
Madam Chair, today we met with the Department of Revenue. Employees in our property tax division met with advocates within the industries that might be impacted, and we're going to try and get some language to the conference committee midweek.
Oh.
Hopefully midweek.
So you want to wait?
In order to get the best language that's somewhere in between the House and the Senate.
Okay, we'll hold on 8. So the one I see that looks, so we're not doing 8. So the number 9, reimbursement for tax abatements granted from the 2011 tornado, minor language difference. And Representative Dabney, I think you know about this one. I don't know if the Senate, if the House or Senate staff wants to give us the minor language changes that we should care about. Is there anybody? Mr. Hines?
Madam Chair, essentially the House language says the amount is less than $400,000. I think the Senate language is right at $336,000, the exact amount that's supposed to be paid.
So where is that in the?
In the side-by-side, page 20, 21.
In the bill.
Nope, I was wrong about that.
Page
21.
48 of the Senate bill. If I may, Madam Chair.
Madam Chair, is there a difference in the payment or the reimbursement date? Like one I think actually has a specific date, and one says, or any time up to a specific date, and one says fiscal year 2014. So if somebody could just clarify what those two, the differences in the actual date means.
I think everybody's looking right now.
Okay.
Here is a page in the House bill, Madam Chair. Page in the House bill?
Just
yes.
The page in the House bill? They're all, everyone's looking. Ms. Pollack.
Madam Chair, the language is on page 53 of the
53
House bill.
Of the House. These Minneapolis legislators, they really worked it because they've got their things down to minor language tweaks.
Okay, so it is the same except the not to exceed in one and an exact number in the other.
So Senate Counsel, Ms. McQuay, Senator Ress is wanting to make sure it's 336 and the 400 is the only difference.
Madam Chair and members, if this bill passes before the next fiscal year starts, it will be paid out in this fiscal year, so the Senate language ensures that it will be tracked in the following fiscal, or in the fiscal year in which we're budgeting for, and maybe MMB would also like to speak to this, the language on where it's appropriated mirrors language that they have recommended in other circumstances to budget for the biennium that we're budgeting for.
Okay. Is there Chair, they're not going to get more than $336,000, so I don't know why we don't do the Senate.
Okay, and Ms. McQuay is talking about, as mentioning also that MMB might have a concern about the year it's accounted for budgeting purpose. I don't know if that's related to the tornado being in 2011, or, but Representative Dabney, so that's one issue. If someone from MMB does want to talk to us about that, please come forward. Representative Dabney, do you have a preference on the 336 or the 400?
Madam Chair, if it's 336,000 they're going to get, I think we can name 336,000. Okay. The House bill says the appropriation does not cancel but is available until June 30, 2014, and the Senate bill says for fiscal year 2014 only.
Mm-hmm.
Go to Ms. McQuay's observation about exactly when and if this bill is signed into law.
Well, what's the preference of Utah? Is there someone from MMB who wants to talk to us about that? Otherwise, sure. Welcome.
Hi, Brian Dahl with MMB.
Nice to see you. Thanks for being here.
Yep. Either language works fine. Glad to be here.
You knew you came here for something.
Either version of the language works fine. The money would be spent in fiscal 14. So.
Okay.
So let's do the 336.
Okay, so the motion would be, Senator Dietzick, what do you want to make that motion? Or?
I'm going to move the Senate language in Article 2, Section 42, regarding the reimbursement.
Okay, nice to see you, Commissioner, just in time. Moving right along, you're late again. Does everyone have Senator Dietzick's motion on number 9? We're going with the Senate language. Discussion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed say nay. The Dietzick motion is adopted. So those were the super easy ones. And so Senator Rest and Senate conferees, C3457, any one of those that someone really wants to take first? Again, they tend to be an extension from the Senate and a permanent change by the House. Senator Rest.
With regard, I mean, I'm a strong supporter of the Environmental Response Fund, but I do think it's valuable for us to review it and the success that it enjoys from time to time. And so I would speak very strongly in favor of an extension rather than making permanent. Maybe it should be longer than what is in the Senate bill, but I think that reflects our and I know we have four Hennepin County legislators sitting here, but I'm just a bit cautious about just making our five. I'm sorry.
Five.
Right.
What do we really want to do?
Madam Chair, can we stricken that from the record?
But I'd be willing to listen to a longer extension, and I do think, what did we make it? We made it how many years?
10.
We made it 10 years. I don't know. That seems long enough for me.
Well, maybe Representative Dabney wants to jump in, but I don't know who your Senate author was, but in the House it was Representative Loeffler, and she made a really great case about, this is working, and we have to come back. And then, of course, as we know, it actually ended for a little while there. And I know if she were here, she would fight really hard for it to be permanent. I hear what you're saying there. Representative Dabney, thoughts?
Madam Chair, I agree. It's a very good program. I think Senator Rest acknowledges that. I think we all do. 10 years is a fair stretch. I certainly appreciate the two counties, I think, involved preference for, come on, just let us continue to do this. It's a good program. But I do hear that 10 years is a pretty fair stretch.
Yeah, it's not like, Madam Chair, Representative Dabney, I think in the past it's been things like 5 years or 3 years, and I really I do think asking for it to be reviewed after 10 years is...
Would be a good policy.
Yes, Madam Chair.
Senator Dietzick.
No, that's okay. I'll just...
And where is this on the side-by-side?
Page of the side-by-side, does anyone know?
19.
Senator Dietzick, did you want to make the Senate motion?
Yeah. When I was presenting the bill, I did ask for 15, in part because the discussion I had was that it's been on, I believe, going on for 15 years now. They have a good record of what they've done. I can pull out my file and give you how many millions they've spent. I think it was at least 10,000 jobs in both the counties. They've had millions and millions of products levering billions and millions of dollars to clean up brownsteads all over the metro area. And so I did ask for 15, saying that they have had this track record of actually working. And so I think because we had 5 years in the past, I think that was a compromise. But I also think 15 years, 10 or 15 years going forward would also be good. I know we had similar discussions on the next bill, the Special Service District and Housing Improvement District, where they came after I tested on the Senate File 13 Earth bill, where we had the same discussion where they've been around for 4 years. We had the whole discussion on making people come back and then just telling us to make sure it works. So,
Madam Chair.
Representative Dabney.
Madam Chair, right now we've got the Senate bill at 10 years and the House bill at forever. And it strikes me that 15 is a lot closer to 10 than it is to forever.
Well, that's true.
Thank you. Halfway to forever. You know, they said, as we like to say, they said there'd be no math with this job. Out of respect to Representative Loeffler, who did make that compelling argument that this is a program that works. The elected county board is overseeing it. They can take some responsibility for it. I think Senator Dietzick's original bill of 15 years is a reasonable compromise between 10 and forever.
And Madam Chair,
Senator Dietzick.
Thank you. So the fund provided 300 grants totaling more than $47 million, leveraging over $2 billion in private development, created and retained almost 10,000 jobs. So I think it has worked.
So it looks like we're ready for a motion, and I've just been told by either Ms. Dalton, Mr. Michael, that there's one more issue in this provision. Mr. Michael.
Madam Chair, one other thing that the House did was to put a provision in the state mortgage and deed tax that flags that these county taxes are there at the request of the Bar Association. And it was done in Representative Dabney's division. And so there's also the issue about whether you want to essentially put what's a sort of a notice cross-reference to the Hennepin and Ramsey County codes that are in a different chapters of the statutes or not.
Senator Rest.
Madam Chair, Mr. Michael, could you tell me where in the House bill the language for this provision is?
Mr. Michael.
What page?
It's section 17 and 18, page 49 of the House bill.
While you're looking at that, Representative Dabney.
Well, Madam Chair, my experience around here the past 13 years is it's rarely helpful to get crosswise with the Bar Association.
And so, in the Senate, what page is it on?
Mr. Michael or Mr. Senate? Ms. Pollack?
Madam Chair, the Senate provision is on page 69.
And 70.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, section 17 from the House is identical to the Senate language, and it's just our section 18 is the cross reference.
We have two sections that deal with it.
Yeah.
Right. They're
section
the same.
Section 7.
They're the same.
They're the same.
And section 8.
Ms. Pollack?
There's ones in the deed tax and the other ones in the mortgage tax. They're the same.
Right.
So it's in the deed and one's in the mortgage.
And so in the House bill, both of them are cross-referenced.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Michael or Ms. Dalton, is that right?
They're the same. I'm sorry, they're the same.
Okay. Ms. Pollack?
Madam Chair, yes, I agree. They're the same.
They're the same. We don't have to worry about that part. So we're back to the 15 years.
15 years. Thank you.
Representative Dabney. Senator Dietzick. Did you want to move your 15-year?
Sure. I move the, we adopt the.
I think we need the article and.
Okay. The House language for the, and I don't have the section here, the House language for 15 years.
Section 17 and
18. Ms. Pollack, do you want to tell us the article and section? You're looking like you want to tell us something. Nope. Or you can't hear.
Ms. McQuay.
Ms. McQuay.
Madam Chair, that too. Yeah.
Okay, can't hear and Ms. McQuay.
Madam Chair, I was looking for a page number. That's what she was telling me. So.
Okay. I know it's hard. We just want to make sure everybody's okay. Everybody good? Questions from anybody? If not, we're going to vote on the Dietzick motion for 15 years on this provision.
House
language, 15 years. Discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed say nay. That has been the Dietzick motion's adopted. So now on the special service districts and housing improvement areas, and I will just tell you, I don't have a strong feeling about this, so we can do whatever all the conferees want. But my experience is we always say yes to these. I can't think of a time we've ever not said yes to them, so I don't know why we wouldn't make them permanent just to save time. But if someone wants to make an argument why they shouldn't be permanent, I just think they continually are approved. So Senator Rest, or does anyone have a thought on this special service district and housing improvement areas? Senator Rest.
You know, it is still the same argument about when there is a sunset, there's always a requirement that the legislature actively review a request. And once again, I'm looking at ours. Extending the allowable period for another 5 years. And here's where we have.
Senator Russ, I don't think anyone can hear you. And I know we don't want to.
I'm having a hard time following this sheet of paper in terms of finding things.
Okay. Page 22 of the side by side on the Senate. Page 22 of the side by side. Senator Dietzick. You were.
Yeah. Well, I just want to. Can I confirm?
16. Yes, please. Who would you like to ask over there?
I will. We had the similar discussion, as I mentioned before, we had the similar discussion on this bill, and just calling them back to just literally reaffirming it works. We felt that it gave other cities and other communities the chance to come in and say, yes, we like it. No, we don't. We could hear from all sides. I could easily make the motion to do that one similar, do it another 10 or 15 years.
Representative Dabney.
It's halfway to forever.
Okay. So, Representative Dabney, what do you think about that?
Well,
I'm trying to remember. Is this Steve Simon? Representative Simon has one of these, or is this?
Mm-hmm. Okay. As I recall, he had the housing districts. I'm not sure if he also had the special service districts. Yes, he did. He had both of them, now that I recall.
Because everybody told you recalled.
All the nodding heads, yes, in the second row. Exactly. I think the balance here is letting communities move forward with these and plan, and the longer time period we're able to stretch this out, the more they're able to assess their communities, look at the challenges, create plans that can be staged out, and then implement. So if we do a tight timeline, it's harder for the communities to use this tool.
Okay, so is there anybody from any Senate Council want us to know anything about anything on this special service district and housing improvement area? Okay. Thoughts?
What was the Senate author?
Franzen. Senator Franzen.
Senator Franzen.
Senator Franzen and Representative Simon.
Mm-hmm. Well, Madam Chair, I'm still reluctant to okay a forever provision here, quite frankly. I don't mind, another lengthy sunset, but I just think that's the more cautious. Cautious way. And the reason why I was hesitating there is that in this section in the side-by-side, it was also the repealer for the mortgage and deed registry tax. And so I was seeing our article for sections 32 and 33, which, of course, is not, we're not repealing.
Not repealing.
We are extending. And so in the repealer of your section 28, I understand now what the A is, and that is only with regard to the special service district. So I was wondering, what if we made that 15 years?
So I just want to ask maybe Mr. Hines or someone. I remember, aren't these special service districts that come back a really short time period? Representative Dabney or others, how do you feel about 15 years?
Madam Chair, I think that seems generous.
Okay. So Senator Senjum, okay. So the motion, Senator Rest, did you want to make that or Senator? Or we can ask counsel what the motion is.
I'm trying to find where the provision would actually, the operable provision, I think I see now. You repeal it in section 28. We, in sections 31 and 32, extend it. And so I guess I would move Senate sections 31 and 32, but for 15 years.
Okay, so Senator Rest is moving Senate Article 2, section 31, 32, amending it to 15 years. Discussion. Does everyone have that? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed say nay. The motion, the rest motion is adopted with the change. Okay, so we've got exempt manufactured homes as dealer inventory, 5-year limit from the Senate, unlimited to the House. You know, I think the House was just getting tired of having to listen to these. So we just made them all permanent. And then we've got Marshall flooding after that. So I don't know. I can't recall. Was it Representative Purcell, maybe?
Madam
I'm not
Chair,
sure. Senator Rest.
I think that there is an additional provision with regard to manufactured homes. And I think this was something that Senator Scoy felt very strongly about, and I wonder if we could just...
You want to hold on this?
Yeah, maybe we
sure.
could...
Sure. Let's hold on that.
...set that one aside. I would rather consult with him on that one.
Okay. Let's set that aside. And can we jump down to number 7, Marshall County Flooded Farm Homesteads, extend Senate or make permanent House?
We are so conservative.
Yes, I see that. So, it's like the oddest dinging. Someone wants us to go home. We can't even tell where it's coming from.
I know.
Somebody who's snoring. Their alarm isn't waking them up. I don't know.
Chair, on this one, I would feel very strongly that it's not indefinite.
You feel very strongly about the flooded farm homesteads?
Indefinite, and what is that?
I don't know. It's up.
I think
not
we're
me.
All trying to figure it out.
Someone's battery is dying. Oh, maybe there's a truck backing up.
Very slowly.
It's odd.
Is there a fiscal note to this?
There, I read in the side-by-side on the House. Section 22, that the provision was originally adopted in 2010 on a temporary 2-year basis.
Yeah.
And now to move it to an indefinite ability to receive the Ag Homestead classification.
Okay. Representative Dabney says there's a method to the madness, and Representative Dabney, you want
to... Madam Chair, I'd ask Mr. Hines to speak to for this provision, please.
Mr. Hines, and this was Representative Keel's bill in the House.
Madam Chair, the logic behind this bill is that the farmstead was flooded out, and so it was impractical for the homesteader to live on that farmland because it was a floodplain. So they were able to maintain the homestead without having to live on the property anymore. And we understand it to be about five or six homesteads, I believe, are covered by this. And the thought was that if it was inappropriate to live there, it still is. There still will be in the future.
Madam Chair,
Representative Dabney.
My understanding, I think, is it's six homesteads, except we're getting the guy who moved to North Dakota. He doesn't get the ongoing...
Once again, Madam Chair, ag homesteads is something that Senator Scoy has been working a whole lot on, and I know that this is an exception because of a disaster, but I guess I would I'd like to put that one aside, too.
Okay, we'll put that on hold. And now I think we've gone through that list. See, I said, see what we can do in an hour. It hasn't even been an hour. So now we have this piece of paper, I don't know if everyone has it, from Ms. Dalton, who found two more minor sales tax provisions that could be adopted, and we'd like to see if folks are interested in that. And I don't know the page of the side-by-side, and this is clarifying the nursing home exemption as it relates to the Under the Rainbow case. Ms. Dalton, do you know the page number?
Madam Chair, it is page 58 of the side-by-side.
And do you want to tell us about what you've queued up here for us to take a look at, Ms. Dalton?
Madam Chair, members of the committee, House Article 8, Section 12, and Senate Article 7, Section 40 are identical. And basically, it's currently nursing homes and boarding care homes have an exemption as charitable care, but there are some issue about whether they all qualify under the Rainbow provision. So this just adds an additional exemption for nursing homes specifically.
Okay, so, and I understand it's Senator Raspel. I think it was Representative Fritz. Ms. Templin or Ms. McQuay, is this a negligible price?
Madam Chair, yes. For the record, the revenue impact for this provision is found on page 5, line 104, and it is a negative negligible. A negligible is plus or minus 5,000.
So does the Senate do the 5,000 number as well?
This is my legislator, too.
This is her re-election bill. So, Ms. McQuay, you've got that, a negligible on this provision. Okay, so Senator Rest, is everyone okay with this?
House Article 8, Section 12.
Discussion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed say nay. The Rest motion is adopted. And I don't know if the Department of Revenue has these two handwritten provisions. Maybe someone could give it to the commissioner. If not, the other one is the one that is the St. John's University provision.
It's Senator Ingerbritz.
Senator Ingerbritz. And this year it's Senator Howe for us and Senator or Representative Howe. And it was Representative Hosh before, but that was in a bill that passed, I believe, and was vetoed in the tax bill. But not because of this provision. I think it's been a very bipartisan provision through the years. So, Ms. Dalton, can you tell us
there is
also?
Difference in the language.
Yes.
she could enlighten us.
Madam Chair, Senator Rest, the differences in the language is last year the department asked us to actually include a definition of religious order. So we did work during conference committee last year and defined both religious order and what it meant to be an affiliated religious order. And so that language is in the House bill, and it's not in the Senate bill. I should point out that I have I accidentally picked up the Senate number for the out-year cost. It's more on the order of $50,000, not $45,000 a year.
Madam Chair.
Ms. Templin.
Also, in fiscal 14, the cost is $93,000 in fiscal 14 and $50,000 in 2015 for a total of $143,000 in the 14-15 biennium. And $105,000 in the tails.
And I think if conferees are still, if we're going to go with the same sort of plan that these real minor things, we're just going to adopt them. And if we really get to that point in the spreadsheet, we're going to have to go back and look at them. But I think this hits that kind
Madam Chair, I would just add, the spreadsheet shows 93 and 50. Is that correct?
Ms. McQuay?
Madam Chair and Senator Rest, in the still, in
all the cases for the sales tax, the Senate and the House numbers will differ, even if the provisions are the same,
for instance, on this one,
because of the different sales tax rates.
So it'll be adjusted whenever we decide
that. Yes. So, but holding
the part of the motion is not what the cost is.
Yes. Yes. That's right. And Comfreys understand that because the Senate is proposing a tax cut in the sales tax rate. The numbers won't line up until we've decided that. Okay. So thank you.
It seems to me that the House language with the definitions is
Ms. Pollack?
Yeah. So I would move the House language, House Article 8, Section 11.
Okay. Discussion. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say nay. The rest, motion's adopted. That's what I have on the list. Does anybody have another piece that you can think of that's sort of non-controversial and simple? The only one that I can think of, and I am happy to have Mr. Michael tell me not to bring this up if it's wrong, which is the confession of judgment for commercial industrial in the Senate. We don't have that. It's Article 2, Section 20.
Senator Thompson's bill, and considered very non-controversial.
Okay, so who on your, because we don't have it, who on your council or either of you want to tell us about it? And members, we need a page, too, on the side-by-side. This is a confession of a judgment for commercial industrial property that's a Senate Article 2, Section 20 through 24. Senator Dietzick, did you?
On what page?
We don't know yet. Do we know a page of the side-by-side?
18.
No idea.
18.
Page 18? Is that what it was?
Yes.
Page 18, about, okay, section 20. Okay. Senator Dietzick or Senator Rest, who knows about this, or council?
There's more than one. I'm thinking, Madam Chair, there's more than one provision here. I was going to give an example on the, he also, I believe, at some point in here, reduces the time frames on residential. So on section 23 on page, the side-by-side on page 19. So currently, if you are a homestead property, if you're a homestead property and your house goes tax forfeit, it's a five-year redemption period, and part of that was set up was to just give people more time, and they didn't want the government coming in and taking their house. So if you compare that to a foreclosure where it can go as quick as 6 months, the forfeiture was a longer time. So currently in most areas, there are some targeted areas where it is quicker than 5 years, but most areas it is a five-year redemption period for homesteads. This will move that down to 3 years, and I gave this was a Dakota County commissioner that came in and talked about where they're having problems. I know in Hennepin County, specifically Minneapolis, we also had a lot of problems where you had properties that went tax forfeit. We have one right now. It's about 28th and Randolph Northeast where the person died, and so you have elderly people that die, and there is either no one else in the family and on the estate, or in this case, the daughter or a niece lives out in California. She wants nothing to do with the property. They have had many discussions among the city and the county with this niece and anybody trying to get the property to move quicker, but she just will not have any discussion whatsoever. So the property is sitting there vacant, and it will sit there for 5 years because it's not a targeted area. It is at a slightly higher slope than the neighboring house, and so a lot of the water is running down. It has become a garbage house, and so it's costing the city money. It's costing the neighbor money as he's trying to stabilize the driveway, which is actually that property's driveway. He's hoping they've had discussions because, again, he's going in and fixing property that's not his, and so hoping that at some point doesn't get sued. And so this will just help resolve that issue, as you have a lot of these properties that have, it's still 3 years, I think, gives people plenty of time. It also gives people maybe the incentive to come in and start talking to the city and the county earlier when they start running into issues. And then the other one, it was a similar situation where it was, and I'm going to ask council to get more into description on this, but it was also where this goes into commercial and industrial, and it capped it because they were also having problems. If I believe right, there was a cap on the amount before where it would go into forfeiture, and they could come in and do a confession of judgment and work it out, but part of the problem is a lot of the special assessments and the penalties, you can't roll in to the repayment, and so you have people who they could pay their back taxes and get caught up, but you have to roll the penalty into it in a certain thing, and they can't waive certain things. And so instead of making a $100 payment, all of a sudden they have to make a $1,000 payment. And so it's just, it helps alleviate some and to hopefully keep people in their, you know, in their buildings and in their homes longer. So
got all that?
Yes. Yep. Except I can't find section 24.
It's 2021.
20, 21, 22, 23. Where is 24? Oh, there is no 24
not,
on my little
not
cheat sheet.
With, not as I understand dealing
is
with
that?
Confession
and judgment. Ms. Manzi. We're going to go. Ms. Manzi.
Madam Chair, that's a typo on the list that you're looking
that's
at. Section 24 for the Senate is actually a renter property tax refund provision. Right.
So, Madam Chair,
so it's 20, 21, 22, and 23.
I would move sections 20, 21, 22, and 23 of Senate Article 2.
Okay, Mr. Silva, did you have anything? Anybody?
Just going to clarify.
Commissioner, or anybody have anything on this? I mean, we hear it's pretty non-controversial. Okay. Discussion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed say nay. That's adopted. And now I'm going to, and this, I might be wrong on this one, but.
Yeah.
Multiple points of use, and if I'm wrong, just stop me, Ms. Dalton. Are these pretty much the same, Ms. Dalton, the multiple points of use, because they're in both bills? If we can't take it up tonight because it's too different, then we don't want to. But Ms. Dalton?
Madam Chair, members of the committee, Ms. Pollack and I met with the department and with the interested parties this afternoon and worked out some language, and we are just waiting to print up the language. It will be available tomorrow.
Okay.
We'll do that tomorrow, too.
That sounds good.
Put that on our list.
Does anyone else have anything else you can think of? Yeah, anybody else? That's all. Unless your counsel or ours have something. Oh, here's another one. But we don't have a copy of this. This is the extending the St. Paul local sales tax, which currently expires in 2013. The House extends it to 2042, and the Senate extends it to 2040.
Whoa. Is there a compromise there?
How about March 30th, 2041?
So that is page 61 of the side-by-side. Does anyone care about this?
Look, if it was 2042, I'd be 100 years old.
Oh.
So I would
let's make it
that.
Okay, so Senator Rest moves the Senate language to extend it to that year. Do you want to? There it is. And
well,
on page 61.
The House is to 2022.
Oh, you want the House?
I want to go with the House.
Okay.
You can be there to celebrate.
Senator Rest moves on page 61 of the side by side. House 51. Article 6, Section 25.
Right. House Article 8, Section 25.
House Article 8, Section 25. Page 61 of the side-by-side. Does everyone understand that?
Yeah.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed say nay. That's adopted. Anyone have another one? Otherwise, we're going to adjourn. Is there something, any of the conferees, Senate Council? Anything? Ms. Manzi? Ms. Manzi, did you have one?
Madam Chair, as long as you're considering items that are negligible on the spreadsheet, let me find this.
That's all I have.
House Article 6, Section 25.
What page?
Page 40 of the side-by-side. Senate Article 5, Section 20. This is a provision related to the military retirement credit for past service. When that credit was enacted, it was limited to individuals who had served 20 years in the military or who had separated from the military honorably with a disability. And since then, it's come to our attention that in the 1990s, during the downsizing of the military, there were some individuals who received retirement benefits without having served a full 20 years. And this provision, which is the same in both the House and Senate, would simply extend the existing credit to those individuals who were honorably discharged and received retirement benefits but served fewer than 20 years.
Senator Rest?
Madam Chair, I would move House Article 6, Section 25.
Senator Rest moves House Article 6, Section 25. Does everyone have that?
Yes.
Everybody, we're good on that? Discussion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Aye. That's been adopted. Anyone? Okay, so there's a message we're receiving that the proponents and opponents agree to the Senate language for item 5, so we can go back to that for a second. Unless you don't want to talk. What did we do on that? We stopped on that. Was that for Senator Skoy?
Yeah.
And that was just letting us know. Now, do you still want to wait on that?
We should wait.
Okay. Mm-hmm. We'll wait. Thank you for that.
Glad that the interested parties are agreed, and we'll take it up with Senator Skoy.
Well, I think we don't have anything else. And I, you know, before we're done, I will say I love people sending us notes up for the future to either Senate staff or the House staff or members, so we can process things faster. It's really helpful when people do just that, which is tell us that they're working on things. So at least that's good.
Yeah. So, Madam Chair, for tomorrow, then we will go back to items 5 and 7 here. We'll take up 4D.
Yes.
And those three things, and then we'll move on to the
TIF.
The TIF provision.
Perfect.
Everybody hear that?
Okay. Anything else from anybody? Okay. We are adjourned. Thank you.
So.